Now we're going to move to look at the readings for Sunday. This is the 28th Sunday in Ordinary Time. That's October 13th to 2013. And we're filming it in August. So the basic theme of these readings is healing. And I think you'll see that as we go through. So, the first reading is from 2 Kings 5, 14 to 17. I'm going to read the longer version. You see, I'm going to start with verse 1 of chapter 5. You know all this. You know, it's read every Lent. But, you know, it's one of the 10 texts to get the catechumens ready for baptism. What do you mean, dunking me in water is going to give me divine life? Naaman got dunked in water and got his whole leprosy healed on the word of God. Now the word of God is, if you go into that water and you are baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit and don't put any obstacles, you will start to live by a divine life. And that life, unless you turn from God, that life will be imperishable, so that even when you die, the very heart of who you are, your spirit, goes on living, and you'll be with God forever. And one day, you will regain your body when God restores the whole material universe. And so, that's the healing is the, ultimately, every healing in this world is a symbol. And that's why we use the same word. The word to heal, one of the basic ones anyway, is sozin. Well, sozin, you see, the, what you gonna call it, the salvation is soteria, from the same root, so that it's an eternal, delightful healing of our whole being because we are in union with God and know Him intimately and rejoice that He and His life are the very principle of our life for all eternity. And that's why we're eternal. And so, this first reading now is from 2 Kings 5, 14 to 17, but it's a little short. I want to get you a little background. Not that you, because once you start hearing it, you'll know, because we read it every Lent as well. Naaman, the army commander of the king of Aram, was highly esteemed and respected by his master. For through him, the Lord had brought victory to Aram, but valiant as he was, the man was a leper. Now the Arameans had captured from the land of Israel in a raid a little girl who became the servant of Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, "If only my master would present himself to the prophet in Samaria, he would be cured of his leprosy," or he, with the prophet, would cure him of his leprosy. Naaman went and told his master, "This is what the girl from the land of Israel said." The king of Aram said, "Go, I will send a letter to the king of Israel." So obviously they're all at peace at this time. There's no war going on. So Naaman set out, taking along 10 silver talents, 6,000 gold pieces, and 10 festal garments. He wants to pay for his healing. He brought the king of Israel the letter, which read, "With this letter, I am sending my servant Naaman to you that you may cure him of his leprosy." When he read the letter, the king of Israel tore his garments and exclaimed, "Am I a god with power over life and death that this man should send someone to me to have him cured of leprosy? Take note, he's only looking for a quarrel with me." When Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his garments, he sent word to the king. Now listen to this confidence, because he submitted to God, Elisha. He said to the king, sent this message, "Why have you torn your garments? Let him come to me and find out that there is a prophet in Israel." You know how important this is? Why can't we? All the aberrations. Why don't you send them to me? And the Lord will work. Why? Because I'm a Christian. Or I'm a priest. I'm no miracle worker, and I'm no saint. But the Lord God lives in me. So anyway, Elisha knows that. So Naaman came with his horses and chariots and stopped at the door of Elisha's house. Elisha sent him out a message. Go and wash 7 times in the Jordan, and your flesh will heal, and you will be clean. But Naaman went away angry, saying, I thought he would surely come out to me and stand there and call on the name of the Lord his God, that is Adonai his God, and would move his hand over the place and thus cure the leprous spot. He's mad. Are not the rivers of Damascus, the Abana, and the Pharpar better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be cleansed? With this he turned about in anger and left. But now we're in the from the point where, no, not yet, actually. His servants came and reasoned with him, my father, if the prophet told you to do something extraordinary, would you not do it? All the more, since he just told you, go and wash and be clean. Now the text begins, the canonical text begins now at this point. So Naaman, I would advise if you're preaching, bring along something or at least give a resume of the story. Because people won't remember because they don't. It's a weekday in Lent, and a lot of people don't know the rest of the story. So Naaman, if he did something tough, you do it. But then he said, just go wash and be clean. So Naaman went down and plunged into the Jordan 7 times, according to the word of the man of God. His flesh became again like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Because he obeyed the word of God, and did what he was told. He bathed in the Jordan. Okay. He returned with his whole retinue to the man of God. On his arrival, he stood before him and said, now I know that there is no God in all the earth except in Israel. He doesn't quite get it that God's all over, but at least the God is here. Local gods were the mindset, Baal, Ashtaroth, all that sort of stuff. Except in Israel. So please accept a gift from your servant. Elisha replied, as the Lord lives whom I serve, I will not take it. And despite Naaman's urging, he still refused. Naaman said, if you will not accept, please let me, your servant, have 2 mule loads of earth, for your servant will no longer make burnt offerings or sacrifices to any other god. But you see, God is so linked to the soil. I need your soil, so I'll be in touch with God when I worship. All right, take the soil. You know, if it's going to keep you relating to the one true God, you're not, everything isn't perfect, but it's close enough. So, he goes. Now, what is the motive of the story? Why is it here now, in this Sunday, in the year, in ordinary time, the 28th Sunday? Because we need that lesson all the time. Oh, I really wish I knew God. It's very simple. Get out of bed. Go pray. Take a half hour every morning, an hour when you get used to it, and pray. God has nothing greater that he can imagine giving you than knowledge of himself, even in this life. Isn't that the purpose of the holy year we have? An encounter with Christ, to get to know him, which is the popular word for that is baptism in the Spirit. But to know Jesus, just ask for it. And first thing may happen is that you hear, well, I've got to stop henpecking my husband. Or I've got to be faithful to my wife. Or I've got to stop drinking too much. Or, I cheated business. You see, these things got to go. But if you're searching for this, baptism, you'll get it. Not just the baptism in water, which is the beginning and the foundation of everything else, but now the baptism in the Holy Spirit, or it's called in Europe the renewal in the Spirit. Your whole being is renewed through the knowledge of Jesus. Well, it's pretty simple. You just pray every day and ask for it, and maybe go join some people who pray like that. Go to a prayer meeting. Well, I wouldn't want to do that. They're crazy. They're raising their hands and shouting. Hey, Naaman didn't want to go wash in the Jordan. Think of what he missed if he didn't go. Pray. That's how you get to know. That's how you experience this healing, this knowledge of God. There's nothing like it to give you peace, confidence, and a reliance on God. You know Him. You can always know Him better, and the Lord always wants you better. But if you start with a life of prayer and listen, because the minute you start that, I'm trying to think of the rest of that story. I think it was a Palestinian boy. I was living in Israel. And he was going to do something, but he had started to take his Christian faith seriously. I don't know what he was going to do. I forgot now. Steal something. Anyway, he started down that road. He said, wait, I can't do that. I'm a Christian now. And the Lord stopped it. You see, it's that living knowledge of the Lord. And so Naaman wants to take the soil along, so he'll have something of the sacred soil that really belongs to Adonai in his backyard where he can go and pray. It's touching. It's not necessary. But it's, you can see in that mindset, it would be, and the Lord will honor that. You know? It's kind of like a little sacramental. You know, people take a stone from Lourdes. Why did they take a stone from Lourdes? Well, because miracles go on there. Are they like Naaman? Kind of. The real stone you take from Lourdes is the presence of the Lord in your heart. That's the real one. Anyway, to preach on that, the theme is, don't ignore the ordinary. If you want to get to know God, stop lying. And the Lord will show you what you have to do. Stop drinking too much. And if it's serious, be faithful to your wife. There's no way you're going to get to know me when you're committing adultery and expect me to be faithful to you. Impossible. Besides that, you'll die in darkness. So, if you get a hunger for me, I think I just told you that, but you know, when I said this guy, you know, pray about 10 minutes a day, 15 minutes a day. I remember even the person now to whom I said that. And he said, okay, I'll try that. He's a big shot businessman. I just remembered who it was now. And so, next time I saw him, he said, I'm praying an hour a day. I said, how'd you manage that? I thought you had no time. And he said, it got to be a hunger. You see how God can win us over. Okay.